This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
All right, Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Chattel, the World Herald, joins us. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Colder.
I know. It looks nice outside if you're inside.
It is December, so.
It is. Are you a Heisman Trophy voter?
Yes.
I will not ask you your vote. I imagine it's Bryce Young. When did your... Or maybe it hasn't, and I don't want to have a leading question here, but you know the Heisman Trophy ceremony, the voting, the prestige of the award. This year it's going to seem kind of different because Bryce Young's going to win, but is he the best player in college football or just had the best season? You know the debate that goes on. Just from an outsider, and for anybody that's won a Heisman, and you've talked to plenty of them, we've talked to all three that are from Nebraska, that is a special, special award that they can never take away, and it completely changes their life. I mean, Eric Crouch is going into the College Football Hall of Fame tonight out in Vegas, and he's a Heisman Trophy winner as well. It's always part of them. But when did the opinion of the impact of the Heisman Trophy or going from one of the greatest awards in American sports kind of not be at the top of everybody's list?
Oh, that's a tough one, and I agree. But I don't know when that happened. I think it's, there have been great winners, and it's not like we had a run of average winners. I don't know. I just think it's always been kind of different because none of the other sports awards are that big. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really aren't, and they don't get the ceremony or any of that. Any of that stuff. I don't know. I think it's still worth paying attention to. I don't know that for the players involved, it certainly is not lesser. I don't know. It's a good question, but I do agree.
How many people have watched the entire ceremony? A lot of the times I do realize that it's a foregone conclusion. But there's some years, like even last year, you didn't know if Devontae Smith was going to win the award. Now, I think we're all kind of after this past weekend, Bryce Young is going to win. But I'm wondering how many people have watched the entire ceremony outside of maybe 2001 around here.
You know, the year I went, 1995, I watched it, and I wasn't there. We weren't allowed to be in the room. We were on a level of the athletic club, about two levels up, in like a giant media room, and you had to watch it on TV. So I watched the whole thing that year. But I generally don't like to watch it. If it feels like another ESPN game day, all the interviews that I've already heard before, just give me the moment, and that's all I need.
Tom Chattel, the World Herald, joining us. You want to project who's going to win the Outland?
Ooh. I had a funny feeling about the NC State guy. I think it might be him. But, Georgia is just so good, and they've been so good. I don't think last week is going to impact anything. Would not be surprised if it's him. Or the Iowa. I mean, they're all three very, mm-hmm. very worthy. But I'll go NC State.
Thoughts on what's going on in Lincoln? We're supposed to have four coaches in here. It's not supposed to just be Mickey. Unfold, what's your feeling?
Yeah, I heard you talking earlier about Graham Harrell, and it's nice to see that, we've already fired the coordinator before we hired him. Not you, but I mean, some of the people out there have already fired him. So I just get the feeling that nobody's taking these jobs. Nobody's interested, or there's so many other jobs out there that they're all waiting to see. And now you got Oregon's open, and Chip Kelly might go to Oregon. What does that mean for Valley Herald. It's just there continue to be jobs. The more that are filled, the more open up. So the fact that Scott did not land who he, but I can't say that he didn't land who he wanted because I don't know who he wanted. But the fact that he didn't get this done early, I mean, it just keeps it seems like it's not going to end anytime soon. Maybe having said that, it'll end today by 3 o'clock. But I don't know. It's important though. It's important to get this done because there's a lot of transfers who want to know where to go, and it's all my transfers now. It is. This recruiting class they're going to get next week doesn't matter. Not for next season. It's all about the guys who can come in right now and help. And what's that offense going to be? Who's that quarterback? I would not, if it's an air raid, if it's all about passing, where does Logan Smothers have? How does that make him feel, and what happens to him? So it's just a big puzzle still. And to me, it's not about. I know we love the coordinator, and we love play calling. We always have, and I've done my share. But this thing is about execution and who's going to come in and make that better. I mean, that you can't win in the Big Ten unless you don't make mistakes. And who's going to me? Offensive line coach is still the big piece of this thing, because offensive line has to be really good next year if anything is that this is going to work. You've got to get a quarterback who knows the offense that whoever they hire is going to bring in, and he's got to fit the offense, and then he's got to not make mistakes. Receivers have to stay around. I'm sure there are a lot of them are waiting to see. So I like the Mickey Joseph hire. I guess it just would have been too much of a gamble to make him offensive coordinator. But maybe that's a move you make if you feel like you've got a lot of time. But if in fact he wants to do that, but it's got to work next year, and that's that's what we'll all be analyzing as soon as we get the whole staff. But
and putting together a staff, and then we're focusing on the OC. Throw another thing in. This just happened. Mark Whipple, who is a East Coast guy, his name has been mentioned in Nebraska's job. He's the Pitt offensive coordinator. People thought that he would, he would stick around. He has resigned at Pittsburgh. So we'll follow that. But you know how we've gone through this. And then this is also the tone. When you're 3-9 and you know you got to break through next year and there is no ifs, ands, or buts, whoever's calling plays got to be a name. What does that mean? When I say it's got to be a name, and you maybe have said that, other people have said that, well, it's got to be a name guy. Graham Harrell would be a name that is familiar. When I say, or somebody says, well, it's got to be a name, what does that mean?
It means whoever says that is wrong. It means they just want a name. I mean, no, the person, again, it's about execution. Go find a Joe Gans quarterback and get a guy who can complete passes every time. And go run pass patterns that are going to be like a running game. You have to go deep once in a while. But again, this league is about execution. It's about ball control. It's about time of possession. I just don't know if whatever a big name is, is a big name going to stake that big name on coming in here and possibly getting fired next year? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're not a big name anymore. So it might be a tough sell to try to get an established. How about that? Instead of big name, how about we use the word established?
It's also never really been a place where, and there have been some good assistant coaches, but nowhere that, you get like a name. Like a new staff comes in and they hire an assistant coach and he's a big name in the industry.
Yeah, to me this is more about, is Scott really going to go off the deep end and turn it over for 1 year, or is he going to go with comfort and knowledge and somebody he knows? And, you know, I think that I just think it's, I don't know, Graham Harrell, Texas Tech offense at Nebraska, you know, I think any offense can work anywhere if you execute and you have the right quarterback. But there's so many things we don't know. I mean, what kind of quarterback are they going to get? And sometimes the transfer portal, the quarterbacks out there maybe are in the transfer portal for a reason. Mm-hmm. they weren't that good, or they weren't working out. So, yeah, you're not playing. Why am I not playing? Well, because you're not any good, or you're not, you know, you're not good enough. the transfer portal is never automatic. It's always a gamble too. But this whole next year is a big gamble. So it's just one giant gamble. So put all the money in on the table and just go for it. Whatever Frost does, you know, it's only a mistake if it doesn't work out.
Now, one more thing on Mark Whipple here, Tom. Mark Whipple yesterday was talking to Chuba Purdy from Florida State. And he was at Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden today he has resigned. There may be some smoke here, so we're going to have to follow that. You brought up the transfer portal in your column today, and we are now seeing the full effect in football. It's with immediate eligibility. We've seen it in basketball, and it can be a game changer in basketball. It can demoralize a mid-major program, but Power 6 programs are doing pretty well. If you do well in the portal, you can turn things around rather quickly. But now we're into hot stove, free agency, off-season in college football. And around here, where it's a love-hate relationship, you've got to love the portal this year. As you see, and this is an all-encompassing question here, Tom, what's going on in college football with so much money and so many quick triggers and the desperation to win, and we've got the portal, and not everybody in the portal is a difference maker and going to turn your program around. Where is this sport headed in that world of transfer portal in college football?
Yeah, I like that question. And I think it's and even more than the transfer portal, it's the coaches portal, or the you got these guys that are almost like owners now. Like this guy at Miami, the billionaire booster who wants to build a stadium, which I think that they've needed for a long time, but it's like he's in charge of the program now. It's not the president. I mean, the way they handled that situation with Manny Diaz was horrible. I wonder if that was the owner in charge, or was it the president. These schools now have owners, and like the two guys in Michigan State who funded Mel Tucker's big contract, are they the owners? You almost have to be kind of beholden to them, right? So I don't know that I like that. The presidents are always at fault of this stuff. They're the ones who could say no to everything, and they never do. It's like, because they love the win. They love football is a big deal to them. When they go to their cocktail parties and their meetings, They get to show off their latest win, their latest big win, their latest bowl trip. I don't think anybody's going to stop it. You're not going to get politicians to stop it. Hell, half of them are big college football fans too. Mm-hmm. So it's people think it's stuff, and maybe the players, if they ever said we want to, some of that money. But now that they're getting money too, so it's not quite the atmosphere for that anymore either. So I don't know where it's going. I think it's college football always seems to find a way. You know, we always worry about it. We always think it's the end of the world, and then we get a great game where we get. You know, we get a Saturday like last Saturday where there's all this drama and everything we get the Oklahoma State play, and then we get Cincinnati celebrating, and then we get Alabama. You know, the quarterback has the game of the year on at the exact right time. All these things happening at once. It takes your breath away. It reminds you why you love the sport.
Well, so. It's we have the part of college football that is Monday through Friday, and then we forget about everything, and we get our Saturdays that give us, you know, the kind of weekends we've had of late where it's just unbelievable drama, and it reminds us why we love the sport so much.
I got to tailgate for the first time ever last month at Missouri. We went down to see the daughter and, took care of her bank account and all that stuff. I got her something good to eat. I've never been to a game where I tailgated ever in my life. And I got, you know, of course Nebraska was off. But down to see Missouri, South Carolina, and went to a tailgate party, and man, we left at halftime and went to Harpo's and watched the second half there. It was dark and cold at halftime, so we said, we're out of here. But what a great thing. I mean, I've never done that before. I could get used to that, right? That's the way to do it. And, of course we love college football because of that. That's what we get to do. We don't, and all the other stuff is just, it's just part of the deal. Yeah, we don't, you know, again, sports is entertainment. Sports is a distraction from real life. It's from the stuff that, you know, you have to deal with Monday through Friday. But then the weekend comes, and man, here come the games, here come the tailgates. It all goes away just for a couple days, for a couple hours. And that's why college football will always be fine. At its core, it's about people having fun. It's about school pride, tailgates, all that stuff. But it's the games are so great, and it's about the pain, the winning, the excitement, by God, it'll be about 12 playoff teams eventually too, and that'll be okay too. I like having new teams. I wanted Oklahoma State to get in.
Well,
I want a new blood.
Well, they were a couple of inches from keeping Cincinnati out of the playoff.
Well, that's a great question, I agree with you. I think that's what would have happened.
One final thing here. Last couple of minutes, there will be the guy that I will see again tonight, and maybe he'll get his picture signed. He's got a picture of Juwan Howard playing for the Washington Wizards, trying to guard Fred Hoiberg in a Chicago Bulls uniform.
That's funny.
So those two meet tonight. Michigan starts the Big Ten. They won the title last year. Nebraska had a rough week last week. Trouble shooting the basketball. Back home, we get Howard and Hoiberg. What do we get tonight? The importance of this game from Nebraska's standpoint is what?
Well, you know, last year's game was on Christmas Day. I went to it in the empty arena, and I still think about that, and you know, Juwan Howard yelling at the refs and doing all this stuff, and there's no crowd to hear him. And it's a fun matchup, but the Nebraska games are only as good and as much fun as they make their shots, and that's a dangerous way to live in the Big Ten. Maybe it's how you live in the Big 12, but it's no way to live in the Big Ten where they not only play defense, they pride themselves on it. Everybody's got a veteran point guard. Everybody's got a coach. And, you know, you got to find other ways to do things. That's how Big Ten football is, and basketball, it's just the way it works. So, yeah, I think Nebraska's going to beat some people. They're going to beat some people, but can they get out of that 10th place spot, 11th place spot? Michigan's not going to win the Big Ten this year. They're 5-3. Yep. They're good. I love the 7-footer, the left-hander. He's so much fun to watch. But it's all about Purdue this year. And Nebraska's going to have a chance to win. They're going to have a whole season coming up that they're going to find roles. And then I'm just saying they're going to go game to game, and it's going to be, you know, one game they're going to make their shots and they'll probably win, and then a couple other games they won't quite get it done. They're still a couple of pieces short, but you know, they get their leader back hopefully at the end of January. We'll see how much he can help or how that fits in, but I still think it's you got to get a point guard, and you got to find other ways to score. So, and you got to play defense. And but you know what, Gary? This is the thing about Hoiberg. He didn't have to win the Big Ten. He didn't have to finish fourth, top four. All he's got to do is, and people might get mad at me for this, but it's the truth. All he's got to do is get in the top eight or nine and make the NCAA tournament, and then go win a game. And then he's a legend. And he might win. If they get hot with their shooting, they may win two games in the tournament if he is the right guy, you know. But can he keep this team together another year and add some pieces? But that's what he's got to do. He's got to go to the NCAA tournament, which you could, the Big Ten, you could be one of the top 10 or top 9 and do that. Do that and win a game. That's what he's got to do.
Well, just start tonight. Win against Michigan as a 7-point dog.
There you go.
Yep. Tom, as always, I appreciate it. I think there might be news coming up, so hang tight.
All right. Thanks.
That's Tom Stell, the World Herald. Mark Whipple has resigned as the offensive coordinator at Pitt. He has interviewed for the Nebraska job, 64 years of age. Kenny Pickett from Pitt gives him a lot of credit. His past has been mentoring quarterbacks. He has been in college. He has been in the NFL. He was with the Pittsburgh Steelers when Big Ben broke in 04, 05, and 06. Maybe nothing, but kind of mysterious. Mark Whipple was recruiting yesterday for Pitt. Today he has resigned. Again, 64 years old, offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh. He has resigned. He went to college with Ron Brown and has interviewed with Nebraska. Does Nebraska have their offensive coordinator? We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.